Hello, it's Thursday, May 17th. This is a World Wrestling Resource conference call with Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, and sponsored by Defense Soap, and we thank Scott Casper and Takedown Radio for hosting it. This call, we're going to talk about how a wrestler can get the most out of his wrestling camp experience. Dennis, you wanted to talk to wrestlers when they're going to camps, what they can do to get the most out of their wrestling camp experiences this summer?
Yeah, I think number one is you got to have goals for the camp, you know, whether it's be, you know, get one more takedown, learn setups, learn how to hand fight a little bit better. If you're struggling with bottom position, you know, how to get that hand control. And if you write down your goals for the camp, you go into camp knowing what you want to get better instead of going in there and just being led by somebody else. You're taking charge of your own career. And things that stick out in my mind is kids that are focused and know what they want to get out of camp. You know, when a clinician is asking for, you know, somebody or he's looking around, you should raise your hand and say, jump up and go be his partner, because there's no better way to learn something than by feeling it. You know, so that's one example of how you can have a better camp. You know, another example is I look for kids that are hustling back and getting back to work after I teach something. And those are the kids that I believe clinicians gravitate towards, because they can tell that they want to get better. So they'll go spend just a little bit extra time and just making sure that the kids are getting things right. So the other thing is realize that clinicians are human, and they're there to help the athletes. Without the athletes, they don't get paid for doing the work. So don't be afraid to go up to a guy and ask him before practice, during practice, or even after practice to spend a little time and teach and help you out. When I'm at a camp teaching camp, I love it when kids come up to me and ask for help, or they just come up and have a question or two, and you just go over the stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's a stud. So those are just areas that I think can make a camp experience a little bit better for the kids, and this comes down to, you know, knowing what you want to do when you get to camp.
Yeah, and you talk about focus. That one might be another thing, too, is just tell the wrestlers to put their cell phones away. A lot of Americans seems like you got a lot of ADHD. They're trying to do 15,000 things when really when they go into camp, they're trying to focus on really how they can become a better wrestler and just get focused on that and get using the time and money and put into that camp to get the most out of it. Talk about focus. Terry Brands, you are on the call, and you talk a little bit when you went to camps, how did you get the most out of camps and some of the things you still do to stay on the edge?
Well, I think that you have to log what the things are that you learn. Breaking them whole down and putting them in a writing form is going to help you understand and learn them better. And also it helps you come back to them. So, you know, after a week of camp, you get home and you go to review those holds, you know, just reading a note or a log book is going to help you. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And not having to, you know, rack your brain trying to figure out what this was that we were doing, what were we working on here or there. The other thing is along with what Dennis says, not just having a goal for the camp, but, you know, taking your aspirations that you have or your goals that you have for your career, and then, you know, you're taking that and you're watching your film and you're having, you know, what do you want to call it, an evaluation session with your coach before you leave for camp, so you have an idea of what you want to learn and what you want to work on when you do get one-on-one question time. And then, as Dennis said, taking advantage of that is huge. The other thing is realizing that even though, especially this is more, I guess, for a seasoned wrestler, but even though you may be comfortable doing it a certain way, realize that there are a lot of different ways that you can skin a cat. And there's going to be people and clinicians and counselors that you run into that do things different than your coach does, or maybe the way that you do, and maybe you do it real well. And there's two thoughts to that. Number one is be open-minded, because you are at the camp to learn. And then number two is be open-minded to it because it may be something you're going to see down the road. So, for example, you know, just because it's something that you're not going to use in your wrestling career or for you going down the road, it doesn't mean that you won't see that from an opponent and, you know, enhancing your wrestling that way and attacking that hold or that technique from that kind of a mindset will help you get better so that if you do run into it, you're going to be prepared for it. The other thing that comes to mind just briefly would be exposing yourself to a camp that has ideas and diversity in their championship people. You know, okay, this guy, he was from, a Division III school. He was a Division III champion. This guy was from an NCAA championship bracket that was from a certain school that won the NCAA championship. This guy's a world champion. This guy's an Olympic champion. This guy's, you know, whatever. Maybe and then they have this coach featured that was, you know, has won, you know, four state team titles over the last 10 years or whatever. Something that gives you diversity so that you can find and tweak your philosophy going forward when you're enhancing your own wrestling and figuring out if you're having shortcomings and you can get yourself around those high-level people and you can pick their brain and see where they would go in a certain, which direction they would go in a certain scenario. And you ask a guy like John McGovern or Dennis Hall or Matt McDonough, for example, just to pull a national champion out of the air there. Those three, even though they're going to all maybe have the same work ethic and the same approach from you got to work hard, you got to work hard, you got to work hard and pay attention, this and that, you're going to get different ideas that are going to be just little tiny different tweaks that could make the difference that you can add to your wrestling. And you could have a combined philosophy of three people, intertwine it with what you have, and, you know, wham, bam, bang, all of a sudden you've got a philosophy that works really, really well for you.
Yeah, so talk about that. I mean, you're talking about being around and surrounding yourselves with champions. You have notes from champions that you still use, and you still even keep those notes, even as a coach today. Talk about, like, constantly learning in the sport, even as a coach.
Well, I think each and every one of us on this call, John McGovern and Dennis Hall and myself, we evolve as coaches every day. And, you know, really every minute you're in the room, you're evolving. And when you go to training camps, for example, out in Colorado Springs, or you go and watch the world championships, or you go to Russia, or you do this or you do that, for me, from my perspective, I'm always logging. And I guess it's kind of a wrestling diary that's filled, and I have notebooks from the day I started wrestling in fifth grade all the way up until, you know, today's workout that we just got finished with that logs each and every day, whether we're in our heavy training cycles getting ready for the high peak point of going to the Olympic Games or something where you're in downtime, off-season, learning technique type of thing, and it's all down by date, by year, you know, by subject. And it's important for me to do that because I'm not skilled with a really long memory that could date me back to fifth grade and remember my times that I had at the University of Iowa Wrestling Camp, for example.
There is a lot of research going on that says when you write something down, it increases into your neurologic, you remember it. And,
video, writing, and scene are huge. They're three scenarios. And when I say writing, you're not talking about typing. You're talking about putting pen to paper with your hand and your brain and expressing yourself with ink, and not your voice to a tape recorder type of thing. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of research that, you know, when you go to camp, you have video and you can review it and you learn, oh, yeah, yeah, and that kind of thing. And if you think about it, when you watch a wrestling match and then you go back to it, you watch the match, for example, maybe you watch the match at the trials, and then you go back to it, like, for example, the Burroughs and Howe match, and I think about the high crotches that Howe was hitting and the singles that Howe was hitting, and you think about it one way and you have a video image in your head, but then you go back to video and it reinforces, or maybe it just slightly changes what you thought you saw. And there's so much to that. And then when you put that down on paper and try to describe what happened there, as you said earlier, there's just a lot of research for sky's the limit type of thing. You know, that's just a quick example, and, you're moving forward. It depends on, you know, how bad you want to win and what your aspirations and your goals are.
You know, that's a good point. Actually, my first coaching job, I got because I showed the binder of notes I gave. It was at the University of Virginia, and the coach was kind of impressed more with that than the accolades just because of the interest in learning and improving. I think I've heard that your brother Tom has a pretty big binder, but I'm sure people would like to see the notes that you have, Terry. I'm sure you got quite a few compiled. And that says a lot to coaches now, saying, hey, it's good to continue to write stuff down, not just think you have it in your memory, but write those notes down so you can go back to them. Do you, on your season planner and on your calendar, Terry, do you have your practice plans and you keep those in a kind of a journal or a note?
Well,
type them or write them?
Yeah, this is where, you know, when Dennis and I and you were talking about, you know, doing plans and, you know, drawing out, that's something that's difficult for me to do, you know, weeks and months out. So if you tell me to make a 12-week planner, that was very difficult. Dennis will attest to that because of the amount of phone time we spent where I was trying to get him to describe to me exactly what he wanted, because that's difficult for me. Because I see practices as, and going to camps as, an evolving thing. So when I go, I watch and I teach, and then I see, and then when that practice is over, I log those thoughts down on paper. I don't log them beforehand. I log it afterward. Here's what we did. This is what we had in mind. This is the direction it went. So what is tomorrow going to look like? And then you reflect on that in your brain, and then you're moving on to the next day, and you're kind of following the pattern that your brain has for the next practice. But depending on how the team responds, that's the direction you're going to go with it. So, you know, I'm a little different there. I learned, you know, that from my dad and the way that he planned his businesses and Gable and the way that he did practices. He was so unpredictable, and that fit well with a guy like me who, you know, I needed to be surprised. I needed to have that element of surprise in my workout. I didn't want to see the posted workout maybe. It was mundane, and you want it exciting. You want it new. You want it, you know, you never know when that workout's going to end, so you're always going as hard as you can because that might be the last time you go. That's just an example or a snapshot into my brain. And maybe Dennis can talk a little bit about, you know, because Dennis has a clearer picture of pre-practice planners. And, you know, it's not that I'm opposed to that. That's just how my brain doesn't work that way. My brain works from studying the team and the individuals that I'm around and then selecting the direction based upon the prior workout and when that next down day is going to be, when the high peak of the cycle is going to be, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So talk about that.
I think, you know, pre-practice plans, we have them on that World Wrestling Resource. It's just, for me, it's a general guideline to guide coaches on how to run, like, our youth sessions or freestyle and Greco. And it's just a general, and I agree with Terry, you know, you go as close to you as you can to the practice plan, but there's going to be days where you get one thing done in that practice plan and you do two or three different things that, okay, this is where guys are struggling, so you might make the change. And even in the practice plan that I did, I said, you know what, each practice is not set in stone. You got to go by what you're seeing, what you're feeling as a coach and listen to your athletes. But I think a pre-practice plan, or if you want to call it that, it just gives direction. And, you know, I know when I was up coaching out in Northern Michigan, I'd have my practice plans written out for the week, and probably half of them were right on where that's what we did. And then, you know, the other half were we'd make adjustments here and there to the practice plan. You know, so I think Terry's right on when he says that, you know, it's hard to have a set dead on practice plan, but, you know, it just gives you a general guideline on kind of how to keep the progression going on.
You know, you bring up a key point, keep the progression going on. When you're dealing with Olympic-level athletes or even college athletes, it's a year-round approach. So when you look at our training camp, the USAID training camp, you really want to have the consistent progression. Like a guy like Coach Gable could take a guy for, you know, month after month after month, but if you throw somebody in for 2 weeks on that training camp, it's hard to get that same progression cycle and probably know exactly where to go with each athlete. So there's probably at the USA level for preparing for the Olympic Games, that's probably a little bit of a juggling act, I would think, with each individual coming in on what their needs are. Do you want to talk about that, Terry, because you worked progressively with Henry Cejudo, but then you probably had other athletes where maybe they kind of just came in for that training camp. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's with any coach in any system in any country, really. I mean, the difference in America is, you know, we don't take our individual coaches per se to every event. Also, you know, the Russians, they start wrestling, you know, third, fourth, fifth grade, and their coach is with them all the way through their gold medal. So, you know, from my perspective on that, you know, being around Henry Cejudo, it was natural that, you know, I could feel where he needed to go, the direction he needed to go. But if, you know, whoever came in and, you know, I was working with him, I'm not oblivious to where he's at or, you know, to what he's capable of doing either. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll take Sam Henson as an example. He was a thrill to be around because of, you know, the bull mentality. And he posed a great challenge to me as a coach because, you know, he was different than, you know, maybe this other guy. And this other guy's different than Sam Henson. So you're not oblivious to that going in. You watch the video. You know your subjects as a coach. And if you don't, then you're not doing your homework. And it's pretty much that simple. So, you know, Coach Gable, he knew the Schultz brothers. He knew the Bannocks. He knew Lewis. He knew, you know, Andy Ryan. He knew Bobby Weaver. He knew Gonzalez. He knew Baumgartner in the 84 Olympic Games. He knew those guys and knew what they were capable of and knew what buttons to push with those guys, even though maybe 40% of the lineup, 4 of the 10, were former Hawkeyes and the other 6 weren't. You know, that's part of being a good coach. That's coaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's some good topics for coaches to think, but you still probably have a game plan going in with your season, but you're reading the guys even probably right into that warm-up, evaluating them psychologically, and I think you're right. I mean, Gable is a master at that, and that's where good coaches come in, just reading their athletes. I think it kind of makes it clear that Gable, that's where he's the strongest. That's why he was probably just a great coach, just reading athletes. Any other topic or thoughts on that, guys, that you want to mention? Just from kind of went off onto the coaching side of it, but you know, that is part of the call.
Well, from a camp perspective, you're coaching yourself. When you're getting ready to go to camp, you're meeting with your coach, hopefully, and, you know, it's up to you, like Dennis said, it's up to you to get what you want out of camp. Are you going there to screw off, to be away from your parents, or are you going there to genuinely become a better wrestler that's going to be a contender for the junior nationals in the state high school tournament the next following year? And it's that simple. So you are a coach, and you are coaching yourself. You're figuring out where your strengths are and where your lesser strengths are and what tweaks need to happen for you to, you know, soar to that next level or, you know, soar to the level that you're capable of. That's really our mission in life going forward.
That's great stuff. And I mean, that's kind of the reason we partnered with Mike Clayton on those training manuals. We have World Wrestling Resource training manuals. Wrestlers can journal their day. They can write notes from camps, but they can definitely be logging their strength program and just be doing it by hand. And also some of our World Wrestling camps will have a lot of the wrestling training videotapes, which would be online so they could go back for further review. But I don't think that would replace notes. I think you should do both, notes and video. And we thank you guys for being on the call, and thank Defense Soap for sponsoring the call and Takedown Radio for posting it.
Yeah, and I got a plug for Defense Soap, too. I haven't had. We got defense soap in here last fall for the first time, really. And I haven't had one speck of ringworm on me or one outbreak of herpes. And I know herpes is more of a virus and it lives in your spine and, you know, it comes out under stress. But there's a lot to be said about hygiene, too. And I just, you know, my thanks goes out to those people for number one, for the product they put out there. And then, obviously, number two, for helping us through this.
Yeah, no question.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, very.
You know, I'd like to thank them. You know, our high school in town had some skin issues. My son's a freshman in high school, and same thing. They got defense soap and helped clear up the issues. So thanks to defense soap.
Well, thanks, guys, for on the call, and we'll touch base again next week.
Thank you.